That's true. We are so glad you're with us today. Good morning, everybody. Would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 15 through 19. And check this out. It says, "For this reason," Paul says, "ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." That's cool. "So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." People, his incredible love and power that he has for you. This is his prayer. Paul's prayer for you and for me in Christ. Father, we thank you this morning for your love for us. Good morning, Father in heaven, man. We have left our homes and we've driven to this house this Sunday morning. Why do we come? We come to worship you, Father, in spirit. We come to worship you, Lord, in truth. We come as followers of your Son, Jesus. We come as your children. We ask, Lord, that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning. We pray that you would open our eyes this morning. We pray the prayer of Paul upon us in this room and those watching through the internet, that you would help us, God, this morning to see more clearly for the year of 2020. That we might see you more clearly and we might see ourselves more clearly. We pray this for your glory. We ask this in the name of your amazing Son, Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, what? Amen. And amen. And you all may be seated. Good morning. Has sickness. Pastor Vince has pneumonia. Pastor Vince, pray for Pastor Vince. He is, he says, "Pastor Frank, I haven't been this sick in a decade." And it's going around, people. So can Pastor Frank encourage you to wash your hands? So on Wednesday, amazing, our assistant chief retired, and I was at the city council, and she had asked me to, Commander Engen, Assistant Chief Engen, asked me to have a prayer over her as she was ending her law enforcement career. And I was sitting next to one of our council members. I'm not going to say her name. And I'm happy to see her. "Hi, I'm a chaplain." "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And we shook hands. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, she's like blowing her nose, and she's got, throat lozenges in her mouth, and she's coughing, and I'm going like this. And I'm saying to myself, "Frankie, don't touch your eyes. Don't touch your nose. Don't touch your mouth. Just stay here." She got up, and she said a few words as our council member. Love her. God bless her. And I just did my absolute best to make sure I didn't touch any part of my body until I could race to the bathroom and wash my hands, because I don't want to be, and neither do you, right? So, God, stay healthy. And for all you watching online, and there's quite a few of you, we're glad you're here today watching us online. Can everybody say hi to Pastor Vince, because he's watching online? Hi, Pastor Vince, we love you. We're praying for you big time. Speaking of that, one of the fastest growing churches in the Middle East is in Iran. And if you're watching what's going on in Iran, there's an amazing upheaval and geopolitics going on. Would you join me this morning as we pray for our brothers and sisters and for that country? Father, we pray for the country of Iran. We pray, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for humanity in Iran who strives for freedom that this country knows all about. liberty and freedom is the core values of this land. We pray, Lord God, for... I pray, Lord God, that you would just encourage your saints over there. And God, how many nations have you seen rise and fall? They're truly a drop in a bucket to the Almighty God. But we pray, Lord God, for what's going on in Iran, and we lift before you. We pray, God, that you would protect your people, and that, God, you would bring your values to that land of human dignity. We're all made in the image of God, a different God than the one they serve, a God that is a God of love and holiness. Well, we just pray for that. We ask, God, that you would just bless that country. Help them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. When I grew up, as a kid growing up, I loved playing baseball. I mean, people play, but I was a kid growing up, Big Bear, we always played baseball. And I remember my dad coming home from work, and we'd go out and have a catch. And I remember actually one time being on my Hillcrest Homes, was my dad's company up in Big Bear, and I was on his baseball team. He sponsored that. And I liked playing baseball. I had a hard time hitting the baseball. I had a hard time hitting the ball, especially as I got older and older. I just couldn't see it very well. And one day, I found out that I had a problem. I needed glasses. I remember, how many people in here remembers the first day you ever put on glasses? Do you remember that day? Wasn't it incredible? I remember walking out of the optometrist place and looking up into the hills, and everything was crisp. I could see with detail that I had never seen before. And from that day on, I wore these until I got my LASIK. I did this and LASIK for the same thing. I wanted to see more clearly. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, in a prison in Rome, sat down with a pen and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit began writing an epistle in the New Testament that is incredible. It was written to the believers in and around the city of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. And the book of Ephesians is known as the Queen of the Epistles. And yet speculation surrounds the book of Ephesians, because though Paul lived in Ephesus for many years, when you read his book, he doesn't say hi to anybody in particular, and he doesn't mention any conflict that's happening within the church like he does in almost all his other epistles. And theologians ask why. Why did the Apostle Paul leave out the personal? Hello to such and such at the city of Ephesus. And what about the problem that he doesn't do that in the book of Ephesians? And theologians have asked why. And the answer is because when Paul wrote Ephesians, he wrote it to the region. And he wrote it with the intent of it being a Christian manual. Foundations of Christian living. He intended it to be written not to a to the universal church. As he writes about foundational teachings. And that's why he intended to just leave it general, because it's a textbook. And people, its teachings is foundational to understanding and living out the victorious Christian life that's given to us in Christ Jesus. And let me say that one more time. The teachings of the book of Ephesians is foundational to the understanding and the living out of victorious Christian living that Jesus gives us. And I say this from personal experience. The letter, the book of Ephesians, completely transformed my understanding of who I am as I studied this book. Completely transformed who the person is that I look at in the mirror every morning. Its contents are critical to you understanding and living it out. It is to be read, it is to be studied, it is to be memorized. And that's why Paul, it's so interesting, as Paul begins writing this letter, 18 verses in on chapter 1, he pauses and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you might know what's being said. I pray for you. Paul begins praying for his people as he's writing this because it's so important. So important. He prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So welcome to the second Sunday of a new year, and we're starting a brand new series. And the series is called Seeing More Clearly in 2020. Seeing more clearly. We want to see. We want to take Paul's prayer that we might see God more clearly and who we are, and we want to take that into a series. And we're going to go through the book of Ephesians here, heading up to Easter. And this is going to be an amazing... I'm so excited. I was telling the Lord last night, God, I get to teach this morning. What a privilege. So we're going to read this. And this morning we're going to read the first chapter. So this is here we go. Anybody short on money? Anybody could use a little cash this morning? Hey, Mike, I know Mike. Come here. Come up here, Brother Mike. So there's our chairman, Mike Melendres. Come here, Mike. You know, Mike's actually doing okay. He's rolling. Mike's rolling in the ditch. But in the ditch. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Mike a bunch of money. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to give you pennies this morning because things are kind of tight around here. Actually, not quite true. Can Mike and I thank you? This church paid all its bills last year, and we made $1,500, I think, after. That's kind of... So Woodbridge Community Church, thank you for paying all the... God sustains this ministry. God uses... Thank you for giving to this church and this ministry. So we could use quarters, so I can use pennies. Now, what I'm going to ask Mike to do, I got a jar here, and I wrote, In Christ... And what Mike's going to do is I read Ephesians chapter 1. Every time you hear the word in Christ or in Him, I want you to drop a penny in this jar. Can you do that, me, brother?
I can do that.
Here it comes. So listen clearly this morning to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. It'll be up there with me, and you can help Mike if he's missed one. You let him know. Anytime you hear the word in Christ or in Him, penny goes in the jar. You ready? Here it comes. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. There's one, right? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He has chosen us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Who is the one the Father loves? In Christ. So that one... I say that one works, don't you? I give it to you. Did you throw it in? It's in Christ, right? I like it. Next verse, verse 7, it says, in Him. Does that count? That counts. In Him, in Christ, right? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished, I like that word, that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mysteries of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I love that. To bring all things in heaven and earth under Jesus. All things. Isn't that great?
That's not in, that's under.
That's under, that's right. But verse 11 starts with, in Him. We were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to be put our hope in Christ, that's what I want, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in Him. You were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Blessed be His holy name. How many pennies are in that jar? No, look, give me those back. Here, I'll tell you what, that's for you, buddy. Take your wife out to lunch today. Now, how many pennies are in there? How many pennies are in that jar? How many pennies are in that jar? Anyone know?
10
times in 14 verses. Can we get Brother Mike an applause? Well done, brother. That's it. That's all I need. He did good, right? He counted well. 10 times in 14 verses. 10 times in 14 verses. The Apostle Paul says that you are in Christ, you're in Him. What's he trying to tell you this morning? What's the Apostle Paul? What is God trying to teach through his apostle? What's he trying to teach us in these verses? People, what is your true identity? See, identity and perspective are everything. Am I wrong? Who are you in the eyes of heaven? In Christ. Have you ever studied this? Have you ever opened the Scriptures and tried to figure out not who God is, but who you are in His Son? Have you ever tried to study this? Well, we are this morning. And if you get this, your life will be transformed. If you let this truth penetrate deep into the eyes of your heart, deep into your being, as Paul prays that it will, you will be forever changed. Does this sound important? Listen to this. Let's study this morning. Here it says, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Take notes this morning and take these notes to a small group, to a growth group. If you're in here today and you're not in a growth group, you need to be in one. You need to be in one. You need to sign up for one today and get involved in one. There's like 16 of them meeting throughout the week. We'll find one for you. I want you to take notes this morning and take these notes to your growth group and let this stir it in together in community. People, discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Meaningful relationships. Who do you have meaningful relationships with? Take notes this morning. Note number one, you've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. How many spiritual blessings have you been given? Every. In Christ, you've been given every spiritual blessing. What are these spiritual blessings? Let's keep reading. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Take notes this morning. You ready? In Christ, you're holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. So in March, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. And I'm going to be taking a group of people to Israel. And the first or second day we're there, we take people to the Jordan River. And I've got a picture. When you go to the Jordan River, this is a place called Yarnet. When you go to the Jordan River, the early Christians put people in white robes. And when you're there, they did it well. Every person that wants to get baptized in the Jordan River, they put you in a white robe. And we go down the Jordan River, and it's a beautiful time, and people just spread out, and people share their testimony, and people are baptized. Why white robes? Because this is who you are. This is what Christ has done for you. on the cross. He's made us washed and clean and new. And so when we, and we're, sure enough, we're, I'm going to be baptizing people again at the Jordan River sometime in March. And by the way, here's a great one of my brother Billy Bob. Isn't that beautiful? We had to dunk him twice because we know how he's lived. But we got him good. Now I'm teasing. I like that picture. Aaron and I, we brought him under and we're bringing him up. And you are holy and blameless in Christ. Is that a spiritual blessing? You are holy and blameless in Christ. Pastor David spoke here the last 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about shame and guilt and how we struggle with shame and guilt in our life and how that is so wrong positionally. In Christ, you're holy and blameless. How many people in here feel holy and blameless today? Well, that's who you are in the eyes of heaven, positionally in Christ. Let that sink in. Isn't that beautiful? You've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You are holy and blameless in Christ. That's who you are. Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. Note number 3. You are an adopted child of God. You are an adopted child of God. People, God hasn't just forgiven you of your sins from the cross, but God loves you so much, He's adopted you as His child into His family. Do we realize what a privilege that is? That blows me away. You know, God could have just forgiven me and said, Frank, you and I are cool. Let's be friends. But He says, no, I'm not just forgiven you, Frank, but I've adopted you as my son. That blows me away. I don't adopt everybody I forgive, do you? Every person that you forgive, do you adopt them into your family? Do you do that? God does. God does. It's funny, when you read the Old Testament, you'll read God say, I am your God and you are my people. And then Jesus comes. And God in the New Testament says, I'm your Father and you're all my children. Do we realize the privilege of being called a child of God? See, God predetermined before the foundations of the world that all who accepted His Son would be adopted children of God. God predetermined before the foundations of the world that all people that would be in heaven will be my children. There's no grandchildren in heaven. There's children. God determined this. God's building a family. It's God's plan. And who makes this happen? Listen to Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. God lavishes on us. That's beautiful, man. Note number 4. In Christ you are redeemed and forgiven. You've been paid for. You've been paid off. Your sins paid in full in the blood of Jesus. How much sin? All, right? All your sins. Past, do you remember when you sinned the first time? Do y'all remember when you sinned the first time? I don't. Remember the first time you ever lied? Or were selfish? Ask your mom, she might tell you. Hey, do you remember the last time you lied? When was the last time you sinned? How many sins do you think would fill a jar? If we put a penny in here for every sin you've ever committed, how full would this jar be? I think a barrel, wheelbarrow, maybe a truck, dump truck, maybe more. How many sins do you plan on committing? How many sins do you think you're going to commit between now and the day you ascend into heaven? All paid for, redeemed, bought back, purchased by Christ. All. He's redeemed you. He's bought you back. Christ has, on the cross, by His blood. What kind of riches have you been? What kind of spiritual blessings have you been given? How about completely redeemed and paid in full and forgiven from heaven? How's that for spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm? Not bad, right? Do you love Him yet? Do you see God's heart for you yet? Listen to this. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven. Listen, God's going to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Are you kidding me? You see in the news what's going on in the news? God's going to put all things in unity in heaven and on earth under Christ one day. That's pretty awesome. Take notes this morning. In Christ you've been given heavenly understanding. I like to use the word family secrets. Do you know God gives you family secrets because you're His child? God gives you family secrets. A mystery is a truth once hidden but now made known. Do you like mysteries? There's a lot of mystery in the Bible. Have you noticed? Especially about the Messiah. And the Greek word for Messiah is Christ. There's a lot of mystery about Messiah. Just ask a Jew. The lion and the lamb? How is it possible for a Messiah to die for the sins of the world and yet rule and reign forever? Mystery. How does Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 9 work together? Mystery. Mystery made known to you. The once hidden mystery of God's strategy of redemption for humanity and the summing up of all things in Christ. He's made it known to you. In Christ, in Messiah, the mystery of the Old Testament has been unlocked. See, you as a Gentile, for you non-Messianic Jews here, you've been given a key to unlock. You get to see the Old Testament with answers to the mystery. You look back at the Old Testament through the eyes of Messiah. You see things that a Jew can't even today. In Christ, the mystery of the Old Testament has been unlocked. We don't need to wait till the last days in order to know what God's strategy is for the world, for humanity, do we? How many people's ran to the end of the book? Who wins? God does. God's given you the mystery, right? We actually know where He wins, how He wins. We just don't know quite when. He's left that one a little like, no one knows the day or the hour, but He's coming. We have been given the mystery of two Advents. Merry Christmas. The second coming. You've been given mysteries. God's given you, kids, family secrets. The world doesn't quite get. Secret plans of God about the Messiah from eternity past has been made known to you. Is that a blessing? It's important. See, most people are lost. They don't know who they are. They don't know why they're here. They have no idea what's going on in the world. But we do in Christ. That's a heavenly blessing. Do you feel blessed yet? Are you blessed, Christian? Listen to this. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. God's waiting for the times on earth to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. That's going to be an amazing day. But wait, there's more. If that was enough, would you? But wait, there's more. In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to be put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. We were chosen, the Greek word chosen, as heirs. NASB says we've been given a heavenly inheritance. You're an heir. You're a child of the King. And all kids get an inheritance. Note number 6, you are an heir to the kingdom. You, who is? Who's an heir to the kingdom in here? Raise your hand. Who's not? You need to be. And that's easy to fix. You're an heir to the kingdom of heaven. You're a chosen child of an inheritance in heaven. People, what kind of riches are we talking about? How rich is God? And what constitute riches in heaven anyway? Mystery, but apparently has something to do with the Holy Spirit. Because He speaks about it a bit later on, as the Holy Spirit is a deposit, or this is a taste of the riches. People, this is who you are. You've been given all spiritual blessing. You're holy and blameless. You're an adopted child of God. You're redeemed and forgiven by the blood of Christ. You've been given family secrets. You've been given heavenly understanding. You're an heir to the kingdom in Christ, all wrapped in His robes of righteousness. How does this make you feel? This is who you are. How does this make you feel? Anyone? Blessed. Give me another word. Amazing. Give me another word. How does this make you feel? This is who you are. How does this make you feel? Hearing this morning, how does it make you feel? Hopeful? Grateful? What, say it again. Special? Fulfilled? What? Special? This is who you are. How should it make you feel? Thankful? Blown away? Born again? Born anew? I mean, this is insane. If you could stir this in, if this is who you are, it would change how you live your life. How do you feel? You feel good, right? Well, praise God. Your feelings are based in truth. I remember when we were professor in seminary is teaching this. Anderson, he goes, what if I told you today you won the lottery? How would you feel? And I go, I feel great. And he goes, what if I lied to you? Well, your feelings are based in a lie. Wouldn't that be sad? He says, rein on your feelings. Truth is truth. You figure out what is true, you believe it, and your feelings follow truth. What you are beginning to understand today, and you say, you hear who you are, this is truth of who you are. This is the truth, and who says this is truth? God says this is true of you. And if you believe what God says is true of you, and your feelings follow that belief, you'll feel pretty good. I don't see how anybody in here could walk out saying bummer today. Can you? This is truth. May your feelings embrace truth. I don't feel holy and blameless. Rain on your feelings. Positionally in Christ, you're holy and blameless. I don't feel like a child of God. I don't care if you don't feel. The truth is you are. And that's why Paul pauses and he says, I pray that you guys get what I'm teaching, what God is saying. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Paul prays that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know what revelation means? It means pulling back the curtain. Pulling back the curtain. Has anyone ever been to a play? It's kind of cool when the music starts and then the curtain gets pulled back and it's like, there it is. God is pulling back the curtain of who you are. Who are you? This is who you are. In Christ. How does that make you feel? I have goosebumps. You see, in 1985, the man that speaks to you today was a self-proclaimed atheist, a skeptic who was reading the teachings of Jesus because any intelligent person should at least read about Jesus. Because he's one of the most influential people in human history. So read him. So I'm reading him. I don't buy Walks on Water, Raises the Dead. But I'm reading Jesus. Have you read him? You ought to meet this guy, okay? And in journey of me reading Jesus, I liked the dude. I think he's amazing, incredible. And there were people alongside, and there was Christians praying for me, telling me their testimony and how Jesus changed their life, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But in my own heart, I'm dealing with my own emptiness and loneliness and shame and guilt, and I'm afraid of death, okay? And as I'm reading Jesus, and I remember asking these Christians, how do you know you believe it's true? And they start showing me prophecies that Jesus is full. I'm like, that's amazing. And I finally, one day in the fall of 1985, Pastor Frank bowed his knee. And I prayed. And my prayer is, Jesus, I think you're real. How's that for faith? Faith of a mustard seed? Jesus, I think you're real, and I want you to come into my life. Okay? Forest home. I was on a rock. Woke up the next morning and I felt different. I've been trying to figure out what happened to me theologically ever since. And I want to tell you something. What happened to me that day? What happened to me that day that I said yes to Jesus? This is what happened to me that day. You see, I just wasn't forgiven of all my sins. I just wasn't given the Holy Spirit. I wasn't just made afresh and made new. I just didn't receive or get something that day. I became somebody that day. I became a child of God. I just didn't get something that day. I became somebody that day. Identity is important. Identity is critical to how you live your life. Who are you? How does this happen? It's funny. I remember counseling a person, and they're struggling. By the way, as pastors, we're always praying for people to get Ephesians 1. How do we pastorally help somebody? You've got to see yourself for how God sees you in order to move into victorious living. And I remember I was counseling this young man, and I'm like, we read through the first 11 verses there, and I said, who does God say who you are? And he says, how do I do that? I said, read it again. And we read through the first verses, and he goes, how do I do that? I said, read it again. Did you notice that so far what we've read, you do nothing. It's who you are. There's no do in the verses I just read to you. It's all being. It's who I am. It's who we are. I don't do anything for what I just read. It's who I am in Christ. And then in verse 13, it tells how this happens to you. This is how, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you want to be, this is how it happens to you. This is how it happens to me. Listen to this. This is how it happens to you. Listen carefully. And you also were included in Christ Okay? When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in Him, or sealed, right? With a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, spoken of throughout the Old Testament, that doesn't just fall on prophets and kings, but the promise is that one day God's Spirit will fall on all mankind. The promised Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The day you heard the message of truth, not lies, truth, not Muhammad, truth. The day you heard the message of truth, and what is the message of truth? That God is holy, and He created you in His image. And you are a fallen species. And if God's holy, you're not. God is holy and you are not. And how does this dwell with this? God has to transform you into Himself. You are made holy because of Christ. You've been wrapped in the robes of righteousness in Christ. After you hear the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, went and died on a cross and paid for all your sins, past, present, and future. He purchased your way into heaven. The day you hear the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and what do you got to do? Believe or accept. Here's a penny. You accept it, right? You've given something, you embrace it. You say, yes, Jesus. The day you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the day you believe, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how that happens to you. That's how you become a child of God. You understand who Jesus is and you say yes to Him. The day you did that, this happened to you. And it's nothing you do, it's who you are. Right? Note number 7, take notes. All these heavenly blessings happen the day you believe in Jesus Christ. Note number 7. When did this happen to you? For me, it was February of 1985. For my wife, she was 4. Prayed by your mom's bed at the age of 4. When did it happen to you? When did this happen to you? You need to know it and understand it. If it didn't happen to you, you accept Christ today. And it happens to you. In junior high and high school, what did you put your identity in? In junior high and high school, what did you put your identity in? Looks? Performance, achievement. In junior high and high school, what did you put your identity in? As an adult, today, what do you put your identity in? I'm a mom. I'm a cop. I'm a businessman. I'm a doctor. I'm a dad. I'm a political activist. I'm a businessman. I'm a millionaire. I'm a musician. Every identity that you put yourself in can be taken away from you. Think about this. As an adult, what identity do you put yourself in? Who are you? Someday when you ascend to heaven, what identity are you taking with you? Someday when you ascend to heaven, what identity are you taking with you? Are you going to enter the gates and say, I'm a mom? I'm a doctor. I'm a surfer. What heavenly identity are you taking with you the day that you ascend to heaven? The only identity that you truly are is the one you're taking with you. Do you understand? You are a child of God. That's who you are. The identity that you're taking to heaven is the one that heaven has given you. And as you walk on this earth until the day that God takes you home, your identity is the one that God has given you. This is your true identity of who you are. This is who you are in the eyes of heaven. You're not a cop. You're a child of God who is a cop. And you act accordingly. Do you understand? I'm a mom. No, you're not. You're a child of God who's given you, God has given you children to raise. And they're all going to raise up and fly away, FYI. No, you're a child of God who God's given you a gift to play the music. What is the core of your being? Who are you in your truest identity? It's important that you know who you are, because if you don't get who you are, you won't live accordingly. Do you understand? Please tell me you get this. Pastor Frank prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you might know. Pastor Frank, Chaplain Frank, I'll do prayers when police officers, there's a very special thing that happens in the career of a law enforcement person. It's the day that it's called a badge pinning ceremony. And the day when they stand up there and they're all bald heads and they've gone through the academy, and this is going to happen to Josh Massive. Josh, is Josh here today? Josh? Where's Josh Massive? There he is. Josh, this Friday, right? Friday, LA, Los Angeles Police Department? You're going to have your badge pinning ceremony this Friday, right, Josh? Graduation ceremony. When are they doing the badge pinning ceremony? They've been giving you your badge. Congratulations. Can we all thank Josh? See, here's the deal. Josh is not a cop. He's not a cop. He's a child of God who's a cop. Do you understand? So it's very critical. The day they put that badge on you, that gives you he has authority to walk out on the Branca Parkway and do this. He has authority to stop traffic because of that badge. That badge gives him authority to do what he needs to do. Do you understand? And then also, he's also given other things to do. He doesn't have the authority, but he's been given power to do certain things. Right? He has the authority to... Now, what if Josh didn't believe in his badge and his identity? What if they told him, Josh, go out there and stop traffic on Branca Parkway, and Josh says, well, I don't believe that I have the authority to do it. He won't do it. Belief affects behavior. Say it with me. Belief affects behavior. A policeman will walk out there because he believes and knows that he has the authority to stop traffic. And if he doesn't believe that'll happen, he's not going to go out there. He's useless as a policeman. Do you understand? You are a child of God with given amazing identity in Christ. You've been given, Ephesians 1 is the badge pinning ceremony of a child of God of who you are. Ephesians 6 speaks about spiritual warfare and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, all these things. But if you don't get your identity, you'll never do the rest. If you don't believe who you are as a child of God, you will not live accordingly. It's absolutely critical that you understand your identity. That you understand it and you live it out. Because belief of who you are, belief in who you are affects your behavior. You're a child of God. What identity do you plan on taking to heaven? This is the only one you're taking, people. Do you understand? You need to look in the mirror and stir this in. Because this is who you are. When I stirred this into my life, it transformed me. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you might know who you are, who God is, and who you are. I pray that God will help you. I pray that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will give all of you in here a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know who you are. It's so cool the Apostle Paul pauses because he knows how critical. You guys memorize Ephesians chapter 1. Memorize it. It's how God sees you. If you would see yourself the way God sees you, you would change the way you live. You would change the way you behave. There's power given to you. A hope that's unbelievable. If you just stir it in. Are you with me? Do you understand? Are you seeing more clearly? Would you please put these on? Please see who you are. Please see who you are. Please. Welcome to 2020. Amen. May we all see more clearly this year. Do I hear an amen? May all of us in here see God a bit more clearly. And may we all begin to see ourselves a bit more clearly. That's Paul's prayer for you. It's my prayer for you. And that's all I got. Go home. No, I'm kidding. That's all. All this happens to you because of Christ. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. And I love this part of the service. You've heard, let this sink in. Would you please stir this in these next couple songs? We're going to sing some songs about Christ. We're going to sing some songs praising Jesus. And if you're here today and you just need prayer, maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Christ, in these next two songs, we're going to have people come forward and pray. So I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up and pray with me, and Mike to come up and pray. My wife Cindy will be up here to pray with us. I'm going to ask for Keisha and Christine, my sister, to come up in the balcony. I know the Chows are up there. And who do I got on that side? Let's see. Will you pray for us up there? Okay. So if you need prayer up there, just come forward and bring requests before God. You might be here today saying, would you please, God, pray over me that God would give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might understand. That's cool. Maybe you're here today and you just need a prayer of healing in your body. Maybe you're here today and you just need God there's something you just want to bring to the throne. This isn't counseling. You're just coming and bringing your request before the throne of God, and we're here to pray with you. Right? But let's praise the King. So two things are going to happen here. We're going to worship, and you're going to sit in your chair, and you're going to sing songs, and you're going to pray, God, help me to understand who I am. And you're going to open yourself up to this. And you're going to see people up here, and you're going to say, God, I pray for my brother and my sister up there today, whatever is going on in their life. We as a church body, we'll pray with them. And you might be here today and say, I actually need to get up there. Then do that. But Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We come, God, this morning. We left our homes to come here because we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, God, that we would embrace and believe truth. And that we would live truth. Spirit of the living God, fall upon this place. Speak into the hearts of your people. Bring revelation. Bring wisdom. Bring understanding. Bring peace. I pray for my brother and my sister in here today that struggle with shame and guilt. They can't let things go that happened to them 25 years ago. God, I pray that you would remind people their identity is not in an event of the past, but it's in Christ. Break chains, Jesus. Heal bodies, Jesus. Set people free, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.